Today's date is the 3rd of November, 2013. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. I just woke up from a dream. In the dream, I was living in an apartment and I was hosting some friends, and one of the friends decided to show some footage of some of the most extreme torture I'd ever seen. People were being grabbed and murdered. So it was more than just torture, it was just murder. The footage was really gruesome. People running for their lives, some of them were naked. And men, women, kids, they'd get caught and electrocuted. They'd get held down and with welding equipment, and they'd put the electrode on one part of the body, and then they'd put the ground on the next side of the body, and when the current ran through them, the head would explode. They'd also get torched with oxygen acetylene torches and get the parts of their body just burnt right off. I don't think I'd have ever even dreamt about something so gruesome. I dreamt about gruesome stuff before, but it wasn't this. It was mostly non-humans. Like non-persons, these were people, and they seemed to be from, I thought it was Asia, or Central America or something, and I was being told in the dream that it had something to do with Fanta or Dasani water. And this was what Dasani water was doing to its people or workers. And I woke up from the dream and went online and looked up who owns Dasani, see if they're related to Fanta. Dasani and Fanta are all owned by Coca-Cola. So I looked up Coca-Cola and torture and see the story. It's from July 23rd, 2001. Coca-Cola accused of using death squads to target union leaders. A lawsuit filed by U.S. District Court in Florida accuses the Coca-Cola company, its Colombian subsidiary, and business affiliates of using paramilitary death squads to murder, torture, kidnap, and threaten union leaders at the multinational soft drink manufacturer's Colombian bottling plant. The suit was filed on July 20th by the Union Steelworkers of America and the International Labor Rights Fund on behalf of Sinaltrinal, the Colombian union that represents workers at Coca-Cola's Colombian bottling plants. The estate of the murdered union leader and five of the other unionists who work for Coca-Cola and were threatened, kidnapped, or tortured by paramilitaries. Colombia has long been the most dangerous country in the world for trade unionists, with almost 4,000 murdered in the past 15 years. Last year saw 128 labor leaders assassinated, Most of the killings have been attributed to right-wing paramilitaries belonging to the United Self-Defense Forces of Colombia, the AUC, who view union organizers as subversives and therefore legitimate targets in their dirty war against Colombia's guerrilla insurgents. 3 out of every 5 trade unionists killed in the world are Colombian. The most recent killing of a union leader at one of Coca-Cola's Colombian bottling plants was June 21st, when Oscar Dario Sotopolo was gunned down. Needless to say, companies in Colombia benefit from the reduced effectiveness of union organizing that results from the intimidation of workers by paramilitaries. But the complaint filed against Coca-Cola last week claims that the company does more than just benefit from paramilitary violence. It claims the company orchestrates it. According to Terry Collinsworth of the Washington, D.C.-based International Labor Rights Fund and Counsel for the Plaintiffs, there is no question that Coke knew about it and benefits from the systematic repression of trade union rights at its bottling plants in Colombia, and this case will make the company accountable. The plaintiffs are seeking compensation and an end to the human rights abuses committed against Coca-Cola employees and union members. The suit claims that Coca-Cola controls all aspects of business conducted by its Colombian subsidiary Coca-Cola Colombia, as well as operations of Pan American Beverages, its Colombian subsidiary Panamco, and Bebidas y Alimentos. According to the complaint, Panamco and Bebidas y Alimentos exist solely for the purpose of bottling and distributing Coca-Cola products in Colombia. Both are Florida-based companies with bottling agreements requiring them to abide by Coca-Cola's code of conduct regarding their operations and labor relations. The plaintiffs are claiming U.S. jurisdiction under the Alien Tort Claims Act, which allows non-U.S. citizens to file suit against Americans for violations of international law. Regarding the role of United Steelworkers in the suit, Union President Leo Girard explains, "We are filing this case to show our solidarity with the embattled trade unions of Colombia. The position taken by the union stands in sharp contrast to AFL-CIO policies during the 1980s that openly supported President Reagan's military funding of Central American governments involved in violent repression of union activities." Among the suit's many claims is a 1996 incident in which Aristo Milan Mosquera, plant manager at Bebidas y Alimentos bottling facility in Carepa, Colombia, made public pronouncement that he had given an order to the paramilitaries to carry out the task of destroying the union. Union members claimed that Mosquera often socialized with paramilitary fighters and even provided them with Coca-Cola products for their fiestas. Shortly after Mosquera's pronouncement, local members of Sinaltranal began receiving threats from paramilitaries. On September 27th, 1996, Sinaltranal sent a letter to the Colombian headquarters of both Bebidas y Alimentos and Coca-Cola Colombia, informing them of Mosquera's threat against the union and requesting they intervene to prevent further human rights abuses against employees and union leaders. 2.5 months later, on morning of December 5th, 1996, Bebidas y Alimentos employee and local Sinaltral executive board member Isidro Segundo Gil was killed by paramilitaries inside the Carepa bottling plant. The remaining union board members were also threatened with death if they did not leave town. And then, on December 7th, the paramilitaries entered the plant and told employers that they had three choices: resign from the union, leave Karepa, or be killed. The suit claims the workers were then led to the manager's office to sign union resignation forms prepared by the company. The union had been successfully busted. When asked about his company's use of paramilitaries to kill and intimidate union members, Bebidas y Alimentos owner Richard Kirby, who is also the defendant in the case, said, "You don't use them, they use you. Nobody tells the paramilitaries what to do." He also claims that the facts regarding the murder of Isidro Segundo Gil have been distorted. One day, the paramilitaries showed up to the plant. They shut the plant down, put everyone against the wall, and started shooting. Now it's been a turnaround, so it's our fault. But the targeting of labor leaders was not limited to the Karepa plant. According to the complaint, union officials at several other Coca-Cola bottling plants were also threatened and harassed. In 1996, at Panamco's Bucaramanga plant, local members of Sinaltrinil went on a 120-hour strike to protest the company's elimination of employee medical insurance. After the strike ended, the suit claims the chief security for the Bucaramanga plant, Jose Alejo Aponte, told authorities that he found a bomb at the plant. He then accused five members of the local Sinaltrinil executive board of planting the bomb. The five union leaders, three of whom were plaintiffs in this case, were then imprisoned for 6 months based on charges brought by, according to the official documents, Coca-Cola Emboteladora Santander. The union leaders were released 6 months later when, according to the suit, the regional prosecutor concluded not only that the plaintiffs had nothing to do with placing a bomb at the plant as charge, but that there were, in fact, never a bomb in the plant, as the company had claimed. When asked about abuses committed against union leaders in his Colombian bottling plants, Rafael Fernandez, a spokesman at Coca-Cola's headquarters in Atlanta, denied any wrongdoing regarding human rights violations in Colombia or anywhere else. He also stated, "Coca-Cola has a strict code of conduct that all its subsidiaries and businesses that work with Coca-Cola products have to adhere to." But according to Collingsworth, their code of conduct shows that they're legally responsible. These companies come up with these codes and then don't enforce them. The suit also claims that local management at Panamco Barrancabermeja plant have openly sided with paramilitaries in the civil war, which is intensely manifested in Barrancabermeja. It goes on to claim that Panamco, Colombia, has publicly accused Sinaltrinil members of being guerrillas. Given the volatile situation in Barrancabermeja, home to the most intense urban warfare in Colombia, such accusations is tantamount to a death sentence. The president of the local Sinaltrinil Union in Barrancabermeja, Juan Carlos Galvis, says he received phone calls from paramilitaries threatening him with death if he didn't stop his union work and quit his job at Coca-Cola. The suit claims that paramilitary threats also appeared on the walls inside the plant, including one on June 2000 that stated, "Get out Galvis from Coca-Cola," signed AUC. According to Fernandez, Coca-Cola Colombia has a very special security measures for all its employees and employees of its bottling plants in Colombia. But the company's failure to respond to the Sinaltro letter, written more than 2 months before the murder of Isidro Segundo Gil, and its ongoing intimidation and harassment of labor leaders, raises serious questions regarding Coca-Cola's commitment to protecting its workers, especially those involved in union activities. This article originally appeared in Columbia Report, an online journal that was published by the Information Network of America. That is something to think about.